Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is the show for Wednesday, August the 10th, 2016. We're going to be covering Exodus 32. It's got so much stuff in it that I think I'm going to dedicate the whole show to this. This is Word for Word, and I am Pastor Steve, your host, and I appreciate you listening in. So let's get right into it here. When we did chapter 31, Moshe was up on the mountain, and he got all these rules and the laws and the Torah and all of that, and Yahweh made the two tablets of stone and wrote on it with his finger. And that was the 10 words, better known as the 10 commandments to most people, especially in Judeo-Christianity. So let's get into chapter 32, verse 1. There's going to be some problems here. When the people saw that Moshe delayed, number 954, to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aharon and said to him, "Up, make us an Elohim, which shall go before us. For this Moshe, the man that brought us up out of the land of Mitzrayim, we do not know what has become of him." Oh boy, they had no patience. He was up on the mountain doing everything good for them, and they are just... they are Israel. They are us. We're stiff-necked and hard-headed today, and we haven't changed. Verse 2. And said Aharon to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aharon. And he received them from their hands. And after he had made a molten 4541 calf 5695, he fashioned 6696 it with an engraving tool, 2747, and they said, "This is Eloheka, O Israel." Now that means your divine being, which brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim. I'm going to stop right here. They had seen all the miracles. They saw what Yahweh did in Mitzrayim and to the Mitzrayim, the Hyksos Pharaoh. They saw the mighty waters parted and walked over on dry land. They saw the waters collapse in on the chariots and soldiers of the enemy and destroy them. over and over and over, Yahweh had shown himself. They've seen the pillar of cloud, they've seen the pillar of fire, and yet they want some kind of an idol. Just like we do today, we want to bring Yahweh down to a manageable level that we can handle. That we were in apostasy right then and there, and we're again in apostasy with all our false idols that we have in our society that we, Israel, permit to be in our society. They couldn't be here unless we allowed them. Let's continue on. Verse 5, chapter 32. And when Aharon saw it, he built an altar before it and proclaimed Aharon, saying, a feast to Yahweh tomorrow. Saw it. He didn't even just see it. He made that thing. He cast a calf and he fashioned it with an engraving tool. He was part and parcel to all of this. And now he proclaims a false feast. And he's the high priest. This is going to cost him later. Verse 6. And they rose up early in the morning and offered up burnt offerings and brought offerings of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. 6, 7, 1, 1. Remember this. They rose up to play. That's how they phrase it here in the Hebrew. But that's going to be covered further in another verse. And they weren't just playing. They were having a sexual orgy, and you'll see that. Verse 7, and said Yahweh to Moshe, go, get you down, for deal corruptly, 7843, your people, which brought you from the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 8. They have turned aside quickly. Turned aside is 5493, and quickly is 4118. From the way which I commanded them. He commanded them a way of life. They have made them a molten calf and have bowed down to it and have slaughtered to it and said, this is Eloheka, O Israel, which has brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim. All the things that they were supposed to do to Yahweh alone, they have done to this chunk of gold. Ugh. Verse 9. And here it comes real close for Israel, except for Moshe's imprecation. And said Yahweh to Moshe, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked, at 7186, 6203 combined, people. Verse 10, now therefore, let me alone, so that my anger, 639, may burn. 2734 against them. Again, that's the heat of the nose. My nose may be burning, may be heated, kindled against them. That's the way they use nose for anger, because when you get mad, your nose get red and hot. So they use nose for anger. And that I may consume them, 3:6:15. To bring to an end, to consume. And I will make of you a great nation. He's going to start over with Moshe. And the word for nation is goy. So it does not mean non-Jew. He's going to make Moshe a great goy. So that tells the lie of the Jewish change in the word goy. Verse 11, and Moshe made supplication, 24:70. He just fell down and pleaded with Yahweh. You want Moshe made supplication before Yahweh, Elohev, his divine being. That's the form that means his divine being. And said, Yahweh, why does your anger burn against your people, which you have brought forth from the land of Mitzrayim with great power, 3:5:8:1, and with a mighty hand, 2:3:8:9, mighty. Verse 12, and why should the Mitzrayim speak and say, for evil, 7:4:5:1, or harm, he brought them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the land. He's playing upon Yahweh's great name. Turn from your fierce wrath and repent, 5:1:6:2, to change your mind from the harm against your people. He's saying to Yahweh that these other nations are going to mock. And Yahweh does not like that. Verse 13, remember Abraham, Yitzchak, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your seed line as the stars of the sky, and all of this land that I have spoken of I will give to your seed line, and they shall inherit it forever. He's reminding Yahweh of his oath. And that did the trick. But Yahweh got angry real quick, because this idol worship thing is a big no-no, and he's really upset. But his chosen prophet, Moshe, pleaded for the sinful people of Israel. And Moshe, if you will remember, was a Moshiach. He was an anointed one, a forerunner again. Of the anointed one. He is saving Israel right here as Yeshua Messiah, covered over our sins for all time on Calvary. He is a forerunner, a shadow of what is to come. an image of the coming salvation brought by Yahweh through Yeshua Messiah. Way back when they just came out of Mitzrayim. There are going to be other anointed ones. Because that's what Mashiach means, is the anointed one. And the people were anointed. And a lot of times when they speak of the anointed, they're speaking of the people of Israel. So it just doesn't mean Yeshua all the time. It doesn't mean that. That means the anointed. In the same way where Christos in the New Testament Greek means anointed. Verse 14, the prayer got through. And repented Yahweh from the harm which he thought to do to his people. He changed his mind because of Moshe's prayer. 15. And Moshe turned and went down the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hands. The tablets were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other side were they written. So when you see some good Christian wanting to put the Ten Commandments up, and they can't do it on public property now, they have to do it on private property, and they have them all on two tablets on one face, that's an error. It's on both sides, and they were the size that he could carry. These were stone. You can imagine, wow. Verse 16, and the tablets were the work of Elohim, and the writing was the writing of Elohim engraved upon the tablets. Can you imagine how magnificent they were? Oh. Now he's going down the mountain. Now Yeshua, remember? Joshua is waiting down below. He's a minister to Moshe. He's Moshe's second guy. Okay? And when Yeshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said he to Moshe, there is a noise of war in the camp. Because he didn't know what was going on. He's waiting down the mountain for Moshe to come down. And he brought food and water and was just sitting there and patient 40 days and 40 nights. Because he had a good dose of the Holy Spirit himself. And his faith was absolutely unshakable. He was one of the ones that stuck by the rules. It was an example to us all. And his name means Yahweh saved. The same first name, same name as our Redeemer, Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua the Anointed. Verse 18. And he replied, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, 1369, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, 2476, but the noise of those that sing, 6031, do I hear. Verse 19, and it came to be as soon as he came near to the camp that he saw the calf. And the dancing, okay, these people were dancing. And was kindled the anger of Moshe, okay, was heated the nose, if you want to do it literally, but it's an idiomatic usage. So it was kindled the anger of Moshe. And cast he the tablets from his hand and broke them beneath the mountain. Those magnificent tablets made by the hand of Yahweh. Because he was so angry, he didn't think they were worthy to receive those holy words written by Yahweh on those stone tablets. Verse 20, and took away he the calf which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground, 2912, ground it to powder, 1854, and strewed, 2291, and were cast it all over on the water, and made the children of Israel to drink it. And now he confronts his brother in verse 21. And said Moshe to Aharon, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? Oh. Listen to what Aaron says. Verse 22, and said Aharon, do not let your anger be kindled. You know the people, that they are set on is in italics, because it's not actually in the Hebrew, but we need a connector right here to make it understandable in the English. And that they, italicized, are set on evil. Verse 23, said they to me, make us Elohim, which shall go before us. As for this Moshe, the man that brought us up from the land of Mitzrayim, we do not know what has become of him. Now this is the high priest talking, making excuses. If he was a true high priest, he would have told them, no, be silent. Sit down and shut up. But he didn't do that. Verse 24, and said I to them, whosoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf, like it just came out all by itself. Didn't mention the engraving tool to Moshe, did he? Didn't mention he fashioned the calf to Moshe, did he? No. And here's the verse that tells their condition. Verse 25, and when saw Moshe that the people were naked, for Aharon had made them naked for shame, 8103, among their enemies, 6965. Okay, they were dancing naked. Like I said before, there's a verse that confirms that. I'm not going to make up tales for you. They were naked, and they were partying and singing and dancing naked around the fire. La da 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 da. Oh, just like the pagan nations around them. Oh boy. Verse 26. Then stood Moshe in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the side of Yahweh? Let him come to me." And gathered together unto him all the sons of Levi. I remember way back when Levi and Simeon went in to Shechem and killed all the males. These were not your touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy priest types. These were Israelite warriors. And some of the parts of the tribes had the job of guarding the tabernacle, and if somebody came near that didn't belong, they were to kill them. So all the sons of Levi, of the class of the Levites, if you want to put it that way, the Jews have changed the spelling, and said he to them, "Thus says Yahweh, Elohe Israel," Yahweh, the divine being of Israel, "every man put his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and every man slay his brother or kinsman or brother," because of his brother, literal brother, 251, "was dancing naked and worshiping this idol, you are not to put your brother before Yahweh. You kill your brother." Now, think in the future when Yeshua said, "I come not to bring peace but a sword, and I will divide a man's family, father against son, mother against daughter, brother against brother. Anybody that loves their family more than me is not worthy." See the connection here? Oh, yes. "Every man slay his brother, and every man his friend," 7, 4, 5, 3. If your friend is blaspheming Yahweh, you kill him. He is not truly your friend if you are one of Yahweh's own. He is blaspheming your divine being, and you put him to death. "And every man his kindred," 7138. Family. Members of your family that go against Yahweh are to be slain. Yahshua repeated that during his time with us. If you love anything or anybody more than me, you're not worthy of me. That's strong. He's repeating what was said by Yahweh to Moshe back in the days of the golden calf. So, Yahweh doesn't love everybody. This universalist, warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely business, and the pacifist Jesus, nah. Sell your cloak and buy a sword. That's warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely, hippie. No. No, my brothers and sisters. Our master is not some hippie. We're under his covenant right now, if those of us that accept it. And those of Israel that do not accept it, woe unto them. Verse 28. "And did the children of Levi according to the word of Moshe, and there fell of the people about 3,000 men that day." When they say fall, that means fall, to fall down dead in this instance. So when Yahweh's wrath is unleashed, that was a little bit of it right there. Can you imagine in the end times, in the time of judgment, what Yahweh's wrath is going to be like? With all these years of apostasy that have built up, far more than what they did just there, how many idols do we have today that our people bow down and worship to? And we wonder why we're being punished. He warned us. And I know I'm preaching to the choir out there, because a lot of those that listen to EFR are believing, practicing Israelites. They keep the Sabbath. They keep the feast. Bless you, bless you, bless you. We need you. Tell others so that they may be blessed as we are blessed. I know I feel Yahweh's anger here, but I also, as a man, a fallible, sinful man, that has been blessed by Yahweh, in spite of me deserving death, I grieve for those that are not going to listen. It tears me up inside to think of so many people that could have what we have, brothers and sisters. They could have it. It was given to us freely. And yet they want to worship on the day of the sun god. They want to bow down to idols. They want to break all of Yahweh's commandments because they say they're nailed to the cross. Oh, we don't have to bother with that anymore. Oh, my people, my people, my people. I hurt a lot. Get myself together, have a drink of coffee here. Got tears running down my face because of sorrow. It just tears me up inside. I know I sound stern, but I care and I want to wake people up. It's not out of hatred or anger. It's out of love. Verse 29, because Moshe had said, consecrate yourselves today to Yahweh, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, so that he may bestow a blessing upon you this day. They consecrated themselves by the blood of their own family that they had to slay because they had sinned such a great sin. Oh, verse 30. And it came to be the next day that said Moshe to the people, the ones that were left alive, you have sinned, 2398, a great sin, 2401. And now I will go up to Yahweh, perhaps 194, I shall make propitiation, 3722, for your sin, 2403. Now the first sin is 2398. That means you have missed the mark of duty and responsibility to Yahweh. And then a great sin, 2401. That's a sin. That is the blasphemy of what they did with that calf. And 2403 is akin to 2401. It's another version of that root word. And verse 31, and returned Moshe to Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them Elohe, a divine being of gold. Verse 32, yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and the word they use for forgive is 5375, to lift up. And if not, I ask you to wipe 4229 me out of your book, which you have written. He's talking about the book of life that Yahweh has. He knows about it. Verse 33, and said Yahweh to Moshe, whoever has sinned against me, I will wipe him out of my book. So all of Israel down at the bottom of the mountain, the ones that were still alive, a bunch of them weren't going to make it. Verse 34, therefore go now and lead, 5148, the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my messenger shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, 6485, I will visit their sin upon them. Verse 35, and smote 5062, and smote Yahweh the people, because they made the calf which made Aharon. Remember verse 33, folks. Whoever has sinned against me, I will wipe him out of my book. Now that pertains today. Those that will not repent, those that will not call upon the name of Yahweh, specifically, and I hear people, oh, they don't know the name of Yahweh. We're telling them the name of Yahweh. It's out there. They know the name of Yahweh. These pastors find out what the name is in the cemetery schools they go to, but they're told not to use it, to use God and Lord and Jesus. Don't use the sacred names. Oh no, this is our church doctrine. And if you're going to be a minister in our church and get paid by us, our big assembly, you're going to have to do what we say. And they are getting their marching orders from the people behind the scenes that have infiltrated and change the teachings of these schools so that these Judeo-Christian pastors go out there and preach apostasy and lies and twist the truth. And a lot of these guys truly believe that they're giving you the gospel, because they want to believe that. Plus, they're making their bread and butter off of this. Great incentive. Buy yourself a preacher. Tell him what to preach. You're going to preach the word of God. Well, what God? Baal? The God of Babylon? The God of those that use the Babylonian Talmud? Hallel? whatever it is, son of the light. The ones that infiltrated the temple so badly and perverted the teachings in the temple so badly that Yeshua, our Redeemer, took the priesthood away from the sons of Levi because the Edomites had taken the temple, and he put the priesthood in the order of Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, and he became the high priest of that order because Yeshua HaMashiach is the king of righteousness. He is our high priest. And he said, this will be thrown down and not one stone shall remain. And the Romans came in later, wiped out the Edomites. They killed a whole bunch of them and tore the temple down. And the temple exists today in us. We are the temple. Until the final temple comes down with Yeshua Messiah, when he comes back to this planet to rule on the day of judgment, when grace will end and wrath will begin. Woe unto those that don't believe on the day of Yahweh. It's mentioned all through Scripture. As we go through, I will speak of the day of Yahweh, the day of wrath. It's coming, and a lot of people don't want to hear about it. They don't want to preach it in the churches. It hurts the collection plate because they are a business. They are trained in the cemetery schools to run a business. Take up that offering. Make a mega church. Take that tithe and use it to build up the church and send Bibles to Africa and missions to Africa. Why? Yeshua said, I only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there are no black Israelites. It's the white people. And the tithe is to be used to help widows and orphans in the community you live in. Read up on the tithe in the Bible. They're perverting the tithe with their huge stained glass windows and pipe organs and padded pews and rich plush carpet and full orchestras and sound systems and movies in the church. How did the early church worship? In people's homes, small gatherings, ecclesia, the called out ones that truly believed, who were risking their lives to worship. That's worship. Take care of your own. Remember the old cliche, charity begins at home. How many of our veterans are out living in cardboard boxes and can't get decent medical care because the Fed has got the Veterans Administration up basically killing off these veterans because they're too much trouble? What about those people? Yeah. Now, when they rose up to play, the word used for play has sexual implications to it. Later on, we see that they were dancing naked. Yahweh sees all these abominations because sexual sin is one of the pet peeves of Yahweh. He's always on us about immorality. You marry a wife, you stay with a wife, you have sex with your wife. You don't just go out to bars and pick up babes and do all that other stuff. Oh, I know that's macho and you're really scoring, but you're not scoring any points with Yahweh. And then you get some kind of STD, sexually transmitted disease, and you wonder why. He said he's going to put diseases on us if we don't obey. Well, look at the sodomites and AIDS. Oh, it was created by men. Who gave man the knowledge to create it? It's a plague, and it affects them. It is drug users and sodomites, mostly sodomites. Some drug users that share needles get it. But it's a disease of the sodomites, and they're dying. Oh, AIDS awareness days. You want to know how to prevent AIDS? Sit down and shut your mouth. There you go. That'll stop it. Don't do homosexual sex. Real simple. Moshe called out the Levi. The angry warrior Levites. And they went out and killed. In chapter 34:28, he's going to have to carve out some stone tablets. And then on the second set that's going to be put in the Ark of the Testimony, Yahweh's going to write on them. But he has to carve the tablets. Yahweh made the first tablet, and I imagine they were magnificent. But he doesn't get a free second set. He's going to have to cut them out himself and then sit them there, and Yahweh will write on them. In verse 24, we see Aharon lying, basically mealy-mouthing, to avoid responsibility for the calf. Aharon is going to die for that before Israel entered the promised land. And they had been ordered, Aharon and Moshe, to speak to the second rock instead of smite it. Well, Aharon was right there with Moshe, and he was part and parcel to the smiting of the second rock. And instead of just speaking to the rock and commanding in the name of Yahweh to bring forth water, Moshe disobeyed and didn't give glory to Yahweh, and he would not enter the promised land. Aharon would die first, and Moshe will be taken by Yahweh and buried in nobody knows where. And then Yahshua, his minister, the one that took care of him, would lead the people into the promised land. So, Yahweh tells Moshe that only the ones that worship the idol will be wiped out of the book of life. And Moshe goes back down to the camp, and a plague hits the camp as retribution. There were a lot of people dancing naked, but not all of them bowed down to the idols. So one that bowed down to the idols were the ones that will be wiped out of the book of life. So I have a list of references for you for this chapter 32. Verse 1 of chapter 32, you can reference the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 40. Verse 4, you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse 28, and Acts 7, verse 41. verse 6. You can reference 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. And verses 11 through 14 of chapter 32, you can reference Numbers chapter 14, verses 13 through 19. Verse 13 of chapter 32, you can reference Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, and chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. In verse 15, you can reference Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, and chapter 23, verse 12, and chapter 34, verse 21, and chapter 35, verse 2, and Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. All of those are for verse 15. And Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 through 14, also for verse 15. And verse 17, you can reference Exodus 20, verse 11. And verse 32, speaking of wiping out of the book and forgiving the sin, lifting up their sin from upon them. That's what it means, to lift up from on them. Verse 32, you can reference Psalm 69, verse 28, and the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 5. So what we have had here is the people losing patience with Moshe because he didn't come down in their time frame to make them happy campers, because he was up serving Yahweh and listening to Yahweh and receiving all this stuff, and Yahweh was making these tablets, and they just couldn't stand it. They had to have him now. Well, we want him back now. Where is he? What's he doing? Don't worry about it. He told you to wait. Oh, no. We have to have everything now in these days. Well, God hasn't come back yet. He hasn't come back, so maybe there isn't any God. And Jesus is supposed to come back, and he hasn't come back. Oh, look at all this stuff that's going on. I believe too much of that. We're impatient today. We are told repeatedly to wait on Yahweh. And as the extension of Yahweh upon this planet, the Son, who came in a form of a man so he could give up his life, not be killed. He gave it up voluntarily to cover over our sins. As Moshe went up on that mountain and pleaded with Yahweh to cover over the sins of Israel at that time. See the analogy? That just one is a forerunner of the other, a type of Christ, and Christ means anointed. He's not the universal redeemer of all of Israel. Yeshua, Messiah, is that. But this is a forerunner, a shadow of what is to come. And there are a number that are like that in the Bible. And then the final chapter is when Yahshua comes back, and it tells you what's going to happen in the book of the Revelation. And I know a lot of people laugh and they say, yeah, I read the end of the book. We win. Well, yeah, but look at the process and the cost in misery and degradation and life, the slaughter of thousands of innocent people by the children, the physical seed line of the adversary, and their minions. It tells you in this chapter 32 that they were to slay their own family members and their friends if they were worshiping idols. And then Christ tells us that if you value your family members more than me, you're not worthy. See the foreshadowing of to come? He tells his people when he's getting ready to surrender his life, he says, now sell your cloak and buy a sword. He told them to turn the other cheek, just the 12, not everybody. Because he didn't want any contentions interfering with the beginning of the ministry. He's not telling us today to turn the other cheek when the enemy is about to kill us. We are to protect ourselves and our families. The churchianity has twisted that into something which it does not say. To pacify and cut the legs off of the Judeo-Christians so they won't fight the enemy. Oh, we can't do any kind of violence. Okay. Well, you don't sell your cloak and buy a sword. Give me your cloak and I'll sell it and buy a sword. I'll buy a couple of them in case one goes dull. So, I don't know what to tell you, folks. But it ain't going to be pretty when he gets ready to come back. It's going to be mighty, mighty unpleasant for lots of folks. And I feel sorry for them. All I can do is tell the truth. And that's what I'm trying to do here. So I'll get back with you tomorrow on Thursday, August the 11th. And I hope you have enjoyed this study and written down some notes. If not, you can replay it. It'll be in the archives. So may Yahweh bless, and I say Shalom Aleichem, and catch you tomorrow.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Lord.